Hello. Welcome to this First Thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukOUAT.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the finale, First Thoughts, for And Straight On Till Morning.
Yes.
I guess it's rare that you start an episode with "and."
Right.
I guess it's been done before. So this is the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is the very hot weather-like weather.
Weather-like weather?
Yeah. The.
You mean summer-like weather?
Jeff and Colleen Roni and Lady here sleeping on her bed.
Yeah, she didn't sleep, and she's relaxing, trying to stay cool.
Yes.
We're trying to do the same. I got a fan going on this other room here.
Yeah, there's fans
pointing
all
right
over,
at us.
So
it's ridiculous.
We're going to hear background fans, so sorry.
Yeah, because it's really hot. It's ridiculous hot.
So the finale is here, and it was better than I had anticipated, and I'm hearing everyone saying, told you so. I was like, well, look, I'd rather be honest than be not fake.
Right.
And toe the line and all that. I'd rather just be honest. So
there were some really great moments in this episode.
Yep.
There really were. So it definitely gives me hope for a future, more so than I had in the last few weeks.
Yep. All right. So let's dive in. The picture of Mila was really interesting. I guess they have this poster artist that draws all of the, you know, Snow White and all these different things that we've seen. And so, correct me if I'm wrong. I could be wrong. You know, again, these are our first thoughts of watching it only once. Is Smee double-cross Hook? He also double-crossed Gold, or Rumpelstiltskin as well. He was playing both sides against the middle.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. So, all right.
Look, Smee was out for himself, pretty much.
Right.
Like most of these characters are anyway. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but a good portion of them are anyway.
So when Bay said, "A pirate tore apart my family," I remembered something that we've talked about before, is that there's always this, you only know part of the story. You never know all of the story.
Right.
And it's funny, if you watch the episodes and you'll hear somebody like Belle ask Gold a question. Who is, how did your wife die?
Right.
And he'll say, just a little bit. He'll never tell you the whole entire story, exactly what happened, which infuriates me. It's like, tell her the whole truth.
Right. Well, he
and he'll
did eventually
just tell
know.
A little bit. And
he
so that's, yeah, that's why these people are so unaware. They're standing right next to the person who killed their mother or was blamed for that,
right?
So, you know, because Hook did not. It was Gold. It was Rumpelstiltskin and all that. So, yeah, Hook said, "It's a pirate's life for you." I thought that was kind of funny.
That was very funny.
Now, here's where I'm going to get a little geeky. The swings area where he was on the rope, Henry.
Yeah.
With Granny guarding with not very well, by the way.
Right.
If she had the wolf senses, she sure Gold back there.
Right.
Kind of directing all this stuff. I really have a bone to pick with Granny. She needs to have her wolf senses looked at.
Mm-hmm.
No Ruby either, by the way. Okay. No Ruby watch. That would have been, it's a sad, no Ruby watch today.
Right.
So, but Steveston does have a history with the Asian fishing.
Right, Japanese fishing village.
I'm sorry. It's a Japanese fishing village.
Yeah.
And that's the history of it. And so I thought it was really interesting that the rope swing had a very oriental feel, Asian influence, as well as there were the trees.
And I can't think of the name of it right now. I'll have to look it up. But I believe there's a gate. I want to say it's a Tokyo gate or something like that.
Yeah.
And it had a very similar look and feel. So I'll look that up just to make sure. But,
We have good friends on the ground in Steveston, and they're probably... I know exactly where that is. So. Also, it did remind me, not exactly, but there was a bell with a bell holder on Hook's ship that had a very same shape as that wooden, I don't know what you even call it, where that swing was. So...
Yeah, I don't know.
But that was a creepy scene. Gold with his cane kind of trying to kill and looking at the... It was just creepy, that whole thing. So, all right. All right, Bay's death. What was interesting is when he found out... It didn't shock Gold into being good or anything. It turned him into this victim. So it was all me. So I guess it did change him into something better, but it really kind of turned him into this victim. It was just like, it's all me. But if he really felt bad, say, I'm going to be better. But it was just kind of like he just kind of shrunk back and I don't know.
Right.
We hear some more religious terms, faith, sacred cause, our people. And then on the flip side, they were referring to your kind. So, and then later on, they were saying, we will die for our cause. Will you die for your cause?
Right.
And Hook's like, I don't even. You know what cause you're talking about.
Right.
I really don't understand what you're saying here. So I guess when you hit this black diamond, which I've heard it referred to, it does release this power, and you know it's probably some of the best effects I've ever seen of nature reclaiming the town. That was just fascinating. It was really well done the way it was done. So,
yeah, it was. It was really, really
also the idea that Henry said, "No, we have to work together. We have to work together." And that's what obviously a finale I think is going to do. It's going to bring together the Team 7, which was nice to see all of Team 7. And because I hadn't seen Michael Coleman in a while. And I haven't seen Faustino in a while. I don't think I saw Jeffrey.
His name was in the credits, so I am guessing he was there, okay, but he was probably kind of in the background.
I'll have to look again. But Meg was there, and Lee was there. And Team 7.
Yeah.
And, of course, Stanley. It was funny. The Blue Fairy was kind of like... Those shows where they fix up those houses and they're on a time schedule. And so it's kind of like the Blue Fairy's working and working and working. Okay, right before the end of Storybrooke.
Right.
I figured it out. I know what Stanley needs to do, you know. So poor Sneezy, he finally got his memories back.
Yeah,
I would assume.
Well, right. We didn't see what happened right after he took it. But I thought it was really my first favorite scene of the whole entire evening was when Grumpy gave Rumpel the, you know, the potion and said, I had her make an extra batch for you because Belle helped me remind me who I was. And now I want to do the same for her. I thought that was really cool because Rumpel hadn't exactly been very nice to the dwarves.
Well, and, you know, let's kind of go back to the previous episode when Gold gave the necklace to Lacey at that time, which was an echo of that nightmare. Grumpy kind of fixed things, so, you know, because Grumpy was the other person in a previous nightmare.
Yes.
When he came in there, he goes, you don't take a dwarf's axe.
Right.
Or pickaxe.
Right.
And so Grumpy did the right thing. And, you know, Grumpy's got a heart of gold. Well, what can you say?
Right.
You know, he could have just said, forget it. And a lot of people really did the right thing. I think that was a theme of tonight.
Yes.
Doing the right thing.
Going back really quickly to the park and that swing thing, it's a Torii gate.
Okay.
I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that correctly, but a Torii gate. And it's typically found at the entrance to Shinto shrines.
Okay. Got it.
So I knew there was a specific name, and I just couldn't remember. But anyway, that's what I was thinking of. So go look that up on Wikipedia if you're you know, curious.
Yep. And I wonder, because it does appear that a great friend of the show, Luli, did visit the set when they were filming the finale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I wonder if she visited that park or knows where it is.
Oh, she might.
So I wonder, maybe she has some photos or
info. She just posted pictures of a lot of the cast members and down
Aurora
at the dock. And Belle. And anyway, so.
All right. So the Lost Ones are just as creepy as that shadow.
Yeah, really creepy.
So mean and strange and weird.
Yeah.
So, and Hook called them the Lost Ones, not the Lost Boys.
Mm-hmm.
But they are younger. And then they also refer to what I believe later on they mean as Pan, as he, which was how they referred to Rumpelstiltskin when Snow first talked about him in the pilot.
Mm.
He knows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Take me to him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same kind of mystery.
Yeah.
Not really saying who it was.
Right.
Pirates of the Caribbean, I think, was the influence for tonight, you know, of the boats coming aboard ship, searching, being in control, even though they were off. I mean, remember what we heard the last episode. Once you set your foot on Neverland, you can never leave.
Right.
Which is kind of like Hotel California.
Yeah.
Where it comes up. Anyhow, they were never setting foot on, but they were near, but they were close enough that some of the Lost Boys or Lost Ones could get their hands on somebody who was meant to go there. So the lead Lost Boy or Lost One talks about if you try to hide or take someone from Neverland, that he will rip your shadow from you.
Mm-hmm.
He said rip.
Right.
So, kind of creepy. The scene of Team 7 in Gold's shop, Gold said, well, the end of the world is here. We're looting.
Right.
It's kind of funny. But, you know, I remember in season one, just kind of looking again at the earlier Gold shop shots, and I saw the Team 7 beer signs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it didn't click until later on when Snow broke Happy's.
Right.
And then I go, wait a minute, those are those beer signs. And then you go back. Yeah, that was the fun of season one.
It's right.
Just all the different things. I don't know if there's as much as that kind of thing in season two, but in season one there was.
Right,
so.
Right.
But
don't you find it funny that he referenced that they were looting, which is very much a pirate thing to do.
Right. True. True. And Grumpy said, don't let her die as Lacey. And, you know, there's this code. You know, I mean, Hook talks about a code. He lives by this code. But even the dwarves have this code of you got to do what's right. You know, even though she doesn't have her memory, we have to get Sneezy's memory back.
Right.
And we also have to get Lacey's memory back. It's the right thing to do. You know, so.
Yep. No, I, yeah.
And I wonder who Hook's father is. We never really got an answer to that.
No.
But in the great, great scenes with Bay and Hook, I kept thinking, who was his father? So, anyway.
Well, what's interesting is that, wasn't his name Killian Jones?
Yeah. Well.
Pretty sure that's what he said his name was, Killian Jones.
Okay.
If that's the case, I'm betting his father is Davy Jones.
Yeah. That's been bantied about. But, yeah, that is possible.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
And was he telling the truth about his father?
Mm-hmm.
Or was he doing it to play on Bay's, you know, vulnerability? Don't know.
One of the early questions we had about Hook is how do you know about the dagger? And we now know that Bay told him about it. And so Sheriff David... That was pretty amazing, that whole shootout.
Oh, dude.
And, I mean.
Mister, I'm much more comfortable with the sword. All of a sudden is so right at home with the you know, handgun. I love it. I love it.
And it's really nice, you know, Stevenson's obviously very proud of their town.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just very nice to see different parts of Stevenson now.
Yeah.
We've seen the famous streets and the clock tower. But this time it took place around the cannery, which is next to the hotel, which is where we did our live podcast from Steveston. So, it's just so neat to see other areas. All right. So Regina said, it's going to take all the strength I have to basically slow down what's happening to the town. And, you know, even when you kind of infer that evil regals all over the world are like, wait a minute, this is not good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're not to the end of the show yet, so it's it could get better. So, everyone says goodbye, and I said did the right thing, so that was part of the thing. And it was interesting, they brought up the Wraith again.
Mm hmm.
So it's almost, there were certain scenes that reminded me of the Wraith, the shaking and the destruction and all that. So it was, they were tying the finale in with the first episode.
First couple of episodes,
And which is smart. It almost scared me to death when Archie kind of jumped up from nowhere in the back of Granny's and was like, no, I think that's great. And I'm like, where have you been?
Yeah, exactly. Where
Archie?
Has he been?
Wow.
Where exactly has he been?
Who's feeding Pongo, you know?
Yeah.
But, Hook / Bay. Just so many great scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, again, Hook is kind of put in the position that Regina was in. It's like, I can change.
Mm-hmm.
I can change for you. This can be your family. And it was really interesting kind of laying this whole plan out for Bay. It's like, you don't have to leave.
Right.
You know, and again, choice, the word choice.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, you don't have to, you have a choice. You can stay or you can go.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but that was after, all that happened after he told him what really happened with his mother.
Yep. I wonder said Bay was bagged. So that's the first time. I mean, I guess somebody was bagged, like they bagged Regina. So, and that, of course, would tie in with Greg and Tamara. We should have probably known that at that point, because bagged is kind of anyway.
Hmm.
You know, and Emma saying mom and dad, giving them a hug, that was pretty touching.
Did you skip a whole page in your notes or something there?
Nope.
Are you sure?
I just...
Because, it feels like we're to the end already.
Well, I wrote down what kind of...
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that was really very sweet. That was really very sweet. And then when she realized, you know what? Maybe I can pitch in and help. I called that. I said, Emma will come to the rescue and help somehow.
Yep.
So Emma does have power. Emma is, you know, the potential for her to have even more will come, I'm sure.
Well, and when when Greg, Tamara, and Henry jump through the portal, I said, obviously, they're splitting up the group now.
Again.
So, like they did at the beginning of the season.
Right.
And so, but you called the bay thing where, actually, Neil, where Neil ended up. So.
I did. I said, you watch. He's going to end up in the Enchanted Forest or wherever Aurora and Mulan are, and they're going to. That's how they're going to tie him in.
Well,
they're
going to.
They're going to bring them in because exactly because they're going to have a way to heal him.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll heal him, take care of him, and maybe he'll forget who he is, and who knows? They'll come up with something crazy like that, and then we'll have to deal with that. Or he'll figure out a way to get back, and they will have talked about blah blah blah. Well, you know, if you do this and da 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 da. I mean, who knows?
I hope they say more than that, but...
Well...
Da-da-da. All right.
You know what I mean.
I'm being silly. Okay, so... but then, yeah,
I just realized how... I figured out how they're going to communicate all this.
Fire room?
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Yep, right. Mulan's going to, or Aurora's going to end up in the fire room again, somehow, some way. She'll fall asleep, she'll fall into it. And then Snow will be in there as well. And she'll make a comment about, you know, him or whatever. Who knows? Yeah. You watch. You watch. My prediction now.
Okay. All right, so, So Gold carries along this, this blood globe. I guess he just kind of packs it around in a box.
No, he's
a little bigger box
than the Dark One. He can conjure up anything at any point in time.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That yeah.
Duh. He did conjure it up. Purple smoke too.
He did.
That would be. You didn't notice purple smoke?
Well, yeah. But well, I mean, what's great about it is that'd be a great way to move stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
Right. For a minute, I thought he was going to produce a way to heal his hand so he'd have a hand instead of a hook.
I don't think so. He would change his name.
I know.
To two hands or something. Okay, so... I thought everybody was going to get on the boat and they were just going to sail off together.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
It was going to be,
okay.
Pirates of Life for all of us and...
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But no, Gold gave Belle... a clue to the hidden immunity idol or some extra information for the end of the game.
Cloaking spell.
Yeah, something. And it was a cloaking spell, barrier spell, something like that.
I did love the fact that she got her memories back. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, they can't keep her lazy forever.
Yeah, the whole cup thing was nice. It was nice.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Putting them back together and then drinking it out of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you see that he poured it in his glass?
Yeah,
like
he did.
He was going to drink.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So it was almost like kind of the anti-poison thing.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, let's drink. Okay,
it reminded me. It reminded me quite a bit of the scene in Princess Bride.
Right.
When Inigo Montoya... When Wesley went up against Vizzini, and Vizzini said, you know, had put the poison in both cups.
No, never.
Never thinking he would actually, yeah.
Well, no, never.
Never go against the Sicilian when death is on the line.
Yeah, see, there you go. All right. So Belle, I guess, is going to be the light one when the dark one's out of town. So she has instructions on what to do. And
which I'm like thinking to myself, well, wait, why don't you give those instructions to Archie and the dwarves? And hey, how about Anton maybe? And where was he, by the way?
Right. See,
not even going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, she could have gone with them.
Yeah.
And she could have like.
She was the adventurous woman. See. Okay, so I'm not going to say that
Ruby could have done it.
I know. Well,
dang
still,
it.
Granny needs to kind of really focus.
They're just not going to make it easy for Rumpel and Belle to be together, are they?
No.
They're just not.
No, it reminds me of when Jenny tweeted out last, or there was an interview, and she said that the end of season one is going to make you throw popcorn at your TV.
Mm-hmm.
This was more fulfilling.
Yeah.
This was not like season one where you just got it fixed and then it went back again. This, I think, was better.
Yeah.
And I know we've been difficult, and I know that we've had different views on the way the show's been going, but I'm being honest.
Hey,
right now.
Look, it was a rough season for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think it was a rough season for a lot of people.
True.
But I also think a lot of people are now going to be very happy with the finale so far.
Right.
And we'll see how things go in season three.
Yep. All right. So, so Bay ended up in what looks to be the that extra area, that safe haven place.
Yes.
So, and it appears...
Yes, it appears.
It appears that Henry is Peter Pan.
It didn't seem to me like Henry was Peter Pan. It seemed to me like Peter Pan was the one on the island, the him that they were referring to on Neverland.
Okay.
Because they said he always... Peter Pan always manages to get what he wants or gets what he needs, right? In reference to Henry.
Right.
So.
So, I mean, you know, and I don't know. I don't think we still have a full answer of who the home office is. I mean, all Gold said was they're pawns.
Right.
Being controlled by powers they have no, you know, they can't conceive of or something like
that. Right.
So we still...
They're not the only ones. Others will be coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why the cloaking spell was important.
Yep. So, yeah. Wild, wild stuff. And I think this is the shortest for a long time first thoughts. So...
Yeah, I really liked it, and I want to watch it again, and I think I'll pick up even more stuff that I really like. Again, it was a really hard road getting here.
Right.
Really hard road getting here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still some things I'm still not really on board with, but they did do a really, really good job with this truly last episode.
Yeah. All right, so... Again, I keep saying, and people probably are getting tired of it, but...
one more thing.
Okay.
Did you notice that it was Philip with Aurora and Mulan?
I did.
Did we ever see him get his soul back? Remember?
No.
So, obviously, they figured out how to do it. I'm betting we're going to see that backstory next season.
Yep. Yep. So, it's going to be all... Once all the time. They've got two shows now.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane Espenson is going to be writing.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll probably be hiring writers. And it sounds like there's a little... I know we're going off a little bit here, but it appears that Paul Reubens has been replaced by John Lithgow voicing the White Rabbit.
Hmm.
So there's little kind of changes going on there. But yeah, great finale.
Yeah.
I liked it. There were really great moments. But, you know, as you said, I agree. It's really tough getting here. There was a lot of... Yeah.
There were some really great episodes, but there were also some that were like, wow, you're really stretching my... suspension of disbelief here. And I still want somebody that seriously got really unhappy when Charming, being the wonderful, sweet person that he is, didn't shoot Tamara and kill her.
I know.
Hello.
I know.
He you had an
like,
opportunity.
They don't like that Tamara.
No, she's evil. She, Regina is not even close to being evil. Oh, and by the way, going back a little bit, sorry, I got to throw this in there because it was really good. I thought it was really awesome when Henry said, you're doing this to save us. and that makes you a hero.
Yep.
Now we're going to be the hero and help you.
Yep.
That was, and then when he went over and hugged on her, I was like, oh my gosh, heartbreaking. It was very gut wrenching.
Yep.
It was very, very, very sweet. Very sweet. So.
All right. So that is it. And I want to thank everyone for however they found us, listened to us from the mm-hmm. beginning. This week is their first week, 2 weeks ago, 6 months. However long you've been hanging in there with us, we really appreciate it. So I want to send big love out to everybody, whether it's hot where you're at or not.
Yeah.
And so take care. We will do one more kind of a wrap-up show, and then we'll take some time off for the summer. Lots of projects that we're working on. And so, yeah, that's all I want to say right now.
Yep.
So,
love it.
Thanks. Take care, guys. And we'll be talking soon. See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.